All right, we're going to be doing Herek Hakones in Baba Kama, Daf Nunhei Amid Beis. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off Hakones Tzon Ladir, V'Nol Befanel Keroi V'Yotze V'Zika Potter. So, it happens to be, if you look in the Meiri, he explains, it's interesting, there was actually an agricultural purpose. They used to be kones tzon deer. They used to put the tzon into the deer, into a pen, and then they rotate the pen around the field. And this way, the tzon would naturally fertilize the field. That was the real function of the deer. Interesting. Doesn't affect halacha, but it's interesting. Okay, so anyhow, so you have an assemblage of tzon in a deer. V'nol b'faneha keroi. V'nol b'faneha keroi. And you gated it, locked it accordingly. You know, the proper way. Well, we'll see what the proper way means. That's going to be a whole issue. But whatever it is, it is. And now it went out and caused damage. Potter. Yet potter. So what does Rashi say? Hakones potter the hanatra. Because you watched it. Umay havile lemebad. And what should he have done? In other words, what more could he have, what should he have done? So question is, when you read that Rashi, why would it have been sufficient for Rashi to say, Hakone's potter, the Hanatra? Because he guarded it, he watched it. It was, it had his proper Shmira. Why does he have to say, oh, my Havile Lemebad? What does he need the, you know, the excuse? What do you need that for? You see this. There's two ways to construe. Well, let me go back a step. In the Zekin, you have two basic categories. You have Adam HaMazik and Mamono HaMazik. And Adam HaMazik is one framework with its own system and its own halachas and dinim. And then Mamono HaMazik is a completely different kind of category. And then there's a question even in Mamono HaMazik, what is Mamono HaMazik? And that's why the Torah has to state the avos, the avos nezikin, shor, bor, eish. Because bor ve'esh have their own, you know, unique problems as to why they're considered your responsibility. But in general, you have two basic categories: Adam Mazik and Mamono Mazik. And one way to formulate it is simply that Mamono HaMazik Yochayev. There's a Chiyav Nezikin for Mamono HaMazik. The Torah is simply set up that your Mamon that causes damage, you are Chayev for that. You have the Chiyav Nezikin. But you have a Poter. The Poter is Shmira. That Mamon HaMazik intrinsically is Chayiv in the Zikin, but there's a Poter if you had a Shmira. And once you have a Shmira, then you consider it Onus. Then you consider it Onus. There's a Poter, and there's a Shame Onus. If you learn that way, the Rashi makes a lot of sense. Because Rashi's saying, Akone's Pater, the Hanatra, because he watched it. Umay Havale Lamebat. He's onus at that point. The Poter was in effect. He did his proper Shmira. Umay Havale Lamebat. The Gavr is an onus. And therefore, you can't be Machayev him. And you're right. Then you could add, you know, you could go further, make distinction of that and a Shoel or whatever. But that's the basic.
Why did he need that extra language if he already said that he watched it?
Oh, because watching it is not enough. The patur is that you're an onus.
I thought it's Shmira.
Yeah, because it results. The Shmira results in a shame onus.
Okay, so he already that he is.
No, he wants to show you the formulation. Umay havile lemebat. He's showing it reflects back on the Gavra that the Gavra is an onus.
This is establishing out that whole principle.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the other way to learn? Maybe that'll make it better. You know, if there's another way to learn. The other possibility, what it's going to say is that when you have mammon, when you have a behemah, there's a chiyav shmira. And the lack of shmira is machayev you in the zikin. It has nothing to do with onus and onus or not. It's a simple statement. It's not the pshat that you have an inherent chiyuvei nezikin on your mamon. No. Your mamon, the Torah creates chiyuvei shmira. And the lack of shmira, the a shmira, is machayev you in nezikin. If that would have been the formulation, then all Rashi would have said was, Hakone's partner, the Hanatra. That would be the other possibility. There's the first way we're learning is that mamono is intrinsically chayev in the zigen. But then there's a poter. There's a poter. There's something that exempts you. It didn't have to exempt you. Haraya. Haraya, Adaf Memhei, Amid Beis, at least the way Rashi learns it in the Mishnah, because that's a discussion itself, but at least according to Rashi in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says that a shor tam or a shor muad, he says the only shmira possible by them is a sakin. Kill them. A dead shore is the only shore that you're not responsible for. That's what he holds. That's what he holds. He holds intrinsically, your mamon is chayev. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. If your shore goes out of damages someone else, you're chayev. Don't tell me how much shmira you did. We're not interested. Ain't shmir el sakin. So, but the other Tanoim and the way we ask them, we don't hold that way. But based on that, you could say very logically, like Rashi's learning, that really there's an inherent chi of nezikin. It's considered the mamono mazik and yechayev inherently. But the Torah gave a patur. There's a patur that if you do a responsible shmira, you have a right to say, my habit and levit. What more? What else did you want from me? And therefore, you're potter. That's one way to learn. The other way is no. That there is no inherent, chiyuve mazik, mamono mazik. The Torah simply said that when you own property, you have a chiyuv shmira. And the lack of shmira will be machayev you. That's the other possibility. All right, let's leave it at that. It would be nice, we'll see, you know, it's like the old story, you know. It's good to keep certain chakiras and thoughts in your back pocket. Don't know when it will emerge later in the in that sugya, when in that area. Okay. Lo nol b'fonei karoi v'yotze v'zik achayev. Okay. I have nothing to say about that. It sounds to me to be the exact flip side. I don't know if the Amorayim take up why the Mishnah had to say it in the positive as well as in the negative. Does anybody here have any thoughts about it? Next case.
Wait, Brian, you got the question.
Okay. All right, so let me just put on tape. Some wanted to suggest that my hobby, when Rashi says my hobby le lameva, that maybe it has something to do with the whole area of Shmira Pachusa and Shmira Me'ula, you know, the Shmira Karoi. So we'll wait till we see the Gemara and we go through that sugya and understand what all that is about, and then understand why the guy still has the right to say my hobby le lameva in light of that. But we'll wait. Okay, so let's do the case. Nifritza Belaila. Nifritza Belaila, oh, shepartsua listim, v'yotza v'zika potter. So either was Nifritza Belaila, it was a breach in the night, or actually listim, robbers came along and broke the fence down. In either case, you're potter. So the obvious question, of course, is, why do you need this case? Because we already have the principle that Shmira is a poter. So obviously, I did what I was supposed to do. The fact that, you know, it's Mimanashach. Why was it Nifritza Belaila? Was it because it was a lack of my fencing? Okay, so then I didn't do it Kiroi. And if it's not due to my fencing, the way I put up the fence, so then of course it was Karoi. And I'm Potter. And Listim, I mean, of course I'm Potter. There's nothing added here in this case that you wouldn't already know based on the most basic principle that was stated in the first halacha of the Mishnah. So, Baruch Hashem, I mean, Tosis raised that question. Nifritza Belaila. Afal pi de tana no'al b'foneha keroi potter. It's trich lemisni nifritza belaila potter. Okay, it still had to teach this case. Why? Kid de dayek b'perakama. Like the Gemara makes an inference in the first perak. Ha bayom chayev. Right? Because since it says nifritza belaila ha bayom chayev. But in the daytime, it's chayiv. The kala is lemilsa. Because there will be, publicity. There'll be a voice about it. It will become known to the owner. Umestama yada shenifritza. And we have a right to assume that he knew that it broke down. So Belaila, he's chayiv. Why? Because we assume Stama, we assume that he's a Yodea. And since he's a Yodea, so now at that moment, it's not a Shmira Karoi. At that moment, it's not a Shmira Karoi. And therefore, he'll be Chayiv from that point forward. But Belaila, there, you don't say, there you say, Kala Lesle. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't know about it. But of course, according to this answer, if people actually came to his house in the middle of the night and told him, your fence was broken and your animals are all over town, so of course he'd be chayef. because the stum of the milsa wouldn't be true anymore. Now he's a yodea, and since he's a yodea, he'll be chayef to go out and to stop them from doing any damage. And if he doesn't, he's absolutely chayef balayla also. In other words, layla v'yoma just, you know, really hechi timsis of whether you have kala, whether you assume there's a call. But of course, if there is a call, and the same thing b'yom, of course. If the guy was off on vacation somewhere, and he didn't have knowledge of it, and it was a keroi, but something happened, that's ones, I mean, he'd be pater also. That's the first answer, Tosis. Okay? So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is, I mean, the reason why it's itzrich is to tell you, nifritza belayla is mistama, he doesn't have knowledge. And in the daytime, he does. That's the chiddush. Inami, belayla, afilu nodalo shenifritza, v'yatitza ha-behema, ein lo litroach yoser midai, lachzorach ha-reha ba-feila. Now it gets exciting. The second answer is no. What's Balayla? In Layla, even if he had Yediya, even if they came to his door and told him that your fence was Nifritza, he could, go back to bed. He can go back to bed. Why? Because he's not obligated to go out into the dark. Okay, I don't know if halacha would change today. I mean, it might. You know what I mean? Given, you know, today that, you know, nighttime is like daytime. But let's leave that out for now. But he's not chayev l'troach ba'afela. And therefore, if his animals caused any damage up until, I guess, Amar HaShachar, he'd be potter. At Amar HaShachar, he'd be chayev to get out of bed and go find those animals before they cause any further damage. He'd be chayef from that point on. But until then, he'd be pater. So obviously, what we have to define here is exactly that. What's the machlokas in the formulations between the two answers, such that, but what happens if Balayla, he's informed. Is he chayef a pater? That needs to be defined. It happens to be, we paskin like the Inami. Ain't chayev l'shrocha chareb ha'afela. You go back to your house with your hot cup of tea, relax. I think Yoser Midai means that even according to the second answer, if the fence is open and the animals are basically still in the vicinity of your property, I don't think you can say that. It's a little, it's late at night, I'm going back to bed. I mean, you can't do that. Tain l'truch, yosem yidai ba'afela. You see, on the first side, it tells us, so Chaim's right. It's very simple. It follows the same idea that we said in Rashi, which is that Mamono, you're inherently chaya for the hezek of Mamono. But the Pator is going to be Shmira. But the minute that Shmira is no longer in effect, so then you chayev. And that's, of course, measured in terms of the guy's knowledge, his awareness of it. So the lack of Shmira is going to be mechayev him. Aye, it's dark outside. That's your problem. Your mamo, the Torah gave you a patur, and the patur is no longer in place, is no longer in effect. Get out there and do whatever you can. That's life. What does Tosis hold in the Inami? See, Tosis has really a different formulation. Tosis learns that the ultimate address is in terms of the Gavra, meaning the Chiyuvei Nezek is when the Gavra has a shame, Pshia, that he's a Poshea. Pshia about Mamono, when the Gavra has a shame, Pshia, that's what's Mechayev in the Zikin. So therefore, and there's in terms of the Gavra. The Gavra is a Poshea, there's Pshia here. So therefore, Be'emtza HaLaila, and Tosus puts the words really nicely. You picked up on it. Ein lo l'troach yoser midai mishum afela. You can't call the guy a poshea balayla. He's not a poshea balayla. That's a type of an onus itself. It's very dark. It's dangerous out there. The Torah doesn't expect a person to go out there in the middle of the night. That's asking too much. So if it's in terms of the category of Pshias HaGavra, so then even having knowledge Balayla, he's still Pater. Because it's Balayla. But of course, the minute Amar Shachar comes, he's got to haul himself out of bed quickly and go take care of whatever he's got to take care of. Because his now he will be considered a Poshe at that moment. He doesn't have the... He's not an onus insofar as the conditions of Laila. So according to the first side, it's just simply formulated that Mamono Mazik Yechayev and Shmir is a poter. The other side, the Inami, is no. The Inami is, it's in terms of the ultimate form, the formulation is in terms of the Gavra. So when he has Mamono, that's a Mazik, the doing Shmira makes him a responsible Gavra. In not doing Shmira, he's a Poshea. And the Torah said he's Chayef when he has a shame, Poshea. That'll be the difference. Yeah, I mentioned to Rebbe, I told him that, you know, according to Tosa's second answer, it brings the two basic categories much closer together. There's Adam HaMazik and Mamono HaMazik. It's a closer formulation. It's as if, you know, Mamono in the second answer, the Gavra's a Poshea, it's like an extension of the Adam, extension of the Gavra. It makes it closer. The first way, it's really two very separate categories. They're more distant. Anyhow, I don't know where that gets us, but I just want to mention it. Right, and there's according to the first answer, the Shame Poshea is not the point, it's not the formulation, what creates the Chiyuve Mazik. His knowledge is the measurement of whether or not it's a Shmira Karoi. I can't say. I built the fence 2 days ago, and now I know about it, but I did a Shmira Karoi. That's not Shmira Karoi anymore. Now you know it's not true.
No, but what if he didn't?
And why? Because if you learn your way, Josh, that his knowledge makes no difference, and it's just like a completely objective question. Does it have shmir or not? So you'll say that what? That the minute, if a guy put up a good fence, according to you, it'll turn out, he'll be chayef to stand there and watch it all day long. How can he walk away? There will be no shmir or karai. He'll have to stand there. But the answer is that's not a feasible system. System has to be feasible. And the way it's measured is as far as his knowledge. So if he built the fence correctly, halacha allows him to have, there's an umdana, that a good fence stands as a good fence. And that if anything happens, he has a right to say, I built a good fence. But the minute he has knowledge of the fact that it's no longer, null karoi, that, of course, changes the whole situation. And then he's chayef to act.
But I understand that...
There's an umdana. You build a good fence, there's an umdana, the fence is still standing. Halacha says it's standing. That's it.
That's vis-a-vis the Patur.
Even according to the first side, Chiyuvim and Peturim register in terms of the Gavra. They might not have the shame Poshea, but it's still registering in terms of the Gavra. The measurements of far is that when he builds a fence, there's an undina that it's karoi. Even if it goes down and nobody knows about it, you can't be a mechayim at that point. And so far as this gavra is concerned, and his riyad, it's karoi. That's the Torah's, that's how the Torah set it up. And I told you for good reason, because otherwise, you forget it. Then your mammon should be mechayev you to guard it all day long, personally. I mean, you know, hire somebody. The Torah didn't make such a demand.
That's the Inami. Yeah, I understand.
Oh, the Inami.
The other side
is that when it goes, when he finds out it went down, then in his...
His knowledge triggers this.
All right, he couldn't put himself in a situation that he, that'll be difficult for him to find out what his behemoths are doing.
When I was trying to...
Now you have... Oh, Shapir Tzua Listem, Tosis. V'itzrech la'ashmu'inan da'afilo ha'listem peturim kishalohu tziyuhu. Now, the question is now, what do you need this case for? Once again, the original question of Tosis. It was Karoi. So, of course, you did what you were supposed to do. You have the poter. The fact that they knocked down your fence, how's that change what you did? So here, the chiddush here in this case is that even the listim are paturim. Everyone's pater. Your pater, because your mamon hamazik had the poter of shmira. Their pater, because it wasn't their mamon hamazik. And insofar as what the behemoth then went out and did hezek, that's Grumma. And Grumma ben Ezek in his potter. That's the point over there. The only list of category of Adam and Mazik is that they're chaya for the fence, because they broke the fence. But we're talking about the hezek of the behemoth. As far as the hezek of the behemah, it's not their mum and a mazik and their grumma. So therefore,
what is grumma?
Yeah, to maybe to fully appreciate the Tosis, do the next case too in the Mishnah. Hotzi uha listim chayavin. But if the listim take it out, i.e., then there is kinyone gzela. And then it's considered mamon hamazik. It's considered mamon hamazik by the listim. And that's why they're chayev. Because otziyuhu, they did kinyon igzela. They walked the animal out. They took it out. So then they'll be chayev that the kinyon igzela is sufficient to be considered there Mamon Hamazik. They're the Bailam. And therefore the rules of Mamon Hamazik applies to them. Okay? Isn't that exactly the reason why? Why Grumma ben Zika's Pata, isn't that exactly the reason why the Torah had to tell you that Bor is Chayef? The Torah in Bor is Ki Yichre Ish Bor. That very pasuk is telling you that it's considered you're the Baal HaBor. It's a new idea of Bailus. You're a Baal because you because of Asiyas HaBor. Ki Yichre Ish Bor. You become a Baal HaBor in a different way. I mean, you become a Baal in a different manner, the Torah is telling you. That's a chiddush of the category of Bor. If the Torah would not have written that, then you would have said that if somebody falls, an animal falls into the boar, nobody, I mean, I don't know, maybe the city would be chayef. Or nobody would be chayef. But so far as the guy who made it, said, I didn't do any damage, I just made a hole in the street. But the answer is, the Torah says, no, ki yechra ish bor. That's considered, you're the bala bor. Right? And Gemara even uses that category, right? The shtei dvarim, asana kasav kilu hein shalom. Chametz b'pesach, and bor b'shus harabim. Right? Famous Gemara m'sachem. So, you can't use the category of grumma to be poter the baal, because that is a category in the Torah that mamono hamazik yachaya for. It's exactly what the Torah is setting up. The guy has no claims of grumma insofar as his own mamo. That is the very category. You can't look at it as like, oh, it's like, it's my thing. Oh, but it's removed from me. I didn't do anything directly. You're right. That would be very nice in a Maisa Ha'adam. But this is a separate category of Mamono Hamazik. It's qualitatively a different category, and grumma cannot apply by definition to the idea itself of the category. That's what the Torah set up. You can only have grumma within a category. But this category does not allow for grumma to poter you. It's mamon amazik. Yechaya for mamon amazik, period. It's an intrinsic idea. Now when you come to the listim, you have to apply the categories of the Torah. Now there's two possibilities. Either there's adam amazik, or there's mamono hamazik. Which one is it by the listim when they open up the fence? The answer is, it ain't, as far as the behemoth going out of damage, obviously it's not Adam Amazik. Now, is it Mamono Amazik? No, because the listim have no kinyonim in the behemoth. They just opened up a fence. So at best, what did they do? They were a cause. Because of what they did, it caused that now the behemoth can go out and do damage. That's Grumma ben Ezekin, their potter. There's nothing to, well, as Chaim would say, it's not Mammon, it's not Adam, leave me alone. That's it. Okay. Now you have Hinicha Bachama. So Hinicha Bachama, Shemas L'Cherashot of Akon, the Yatsav Ezekah Chayev. Ah. So what do? You put the deer was in the bright, hot sunshine. And the animals are getting baked on. So Rashi says, Hinicha b'chama mitzara la shimsha velo sagile b'ne'ila keroi dumukmine b'gemara da'ainu delish yichol lama beruach mitzuya. So you agitated the behemoth by putting it in the sun, and now it's not sufficient a ne'ila keroi, which the Gemara tells us means a delish yichol lama beruach mitzuya. It's a fence. It's a delus that can stand up to normal winds. But since you agitated the behemah, now it's a problem. So it's beautiful the way Rashi puts it. It fits in exactly to what we just said. Meaning, you're not chayiv because you agitated the behemah. That would just be grumma. Agitating a behema is grumma. But you're chayiv because then the condition redefines the animal and now requires a different concept of shmira karoi. So the reason why you're chayiv is not because you put this animal in the sun, but it's because you didn't have a shmira karoi. Because a delish yechol lama beruach mitzuya is not enough for a behema that's been put in the shemesh. And that's exactly why yechayev. Yechayev again because of mamon amazik, or because you're a pashay. I don't want to get into each time saying all the different possibilities. But yechayev because now you did not have a proper shmira. And therefore, you don't have the pitur, or you're considered a pasheya, whatever it may be. It's not because simply you put it in the sun. Of course, if you put it in the sun, and then you put up a better wall, of course you'd be putter. Because then you did what you're supposed to do. That's what Rashi's showing you. You see, he says, Mitzara la shimsha. But he doesn't stop there. If he stopped there, then you'd have a big problem. Because that'd be grumma. No, velo sagile benila karoi. And therefore it's not sufficient in nila karoi. You are obligated now in a different kind of shmira. You didn't do a shmira that's poter you in this circumstance. So the chiddush is that the condition of the chama defines, the behemoth can be defined differently. The conditions can redefine the behemoth. There's a regular behemoth, and then you can have a behemoth, bachama. And each one demands a different shmira. Okay? The conditions are part of the very definition of the nature of the animal. There's different, it could be animal A and animal B. Okay? That's the idea of that thing. All right, here's what I should for next week. So prepare, do the next case, which is, Masra Laroa, of course, Nafla Lagina. Yeah, Nafla Lagina Venenis Mishalemis Mashanenis. So then take a look at the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis and the Sugya on Daf Chaf that deals with the issue of Nenis Masha Mishalemis. Okay, so you got it. When you do that line in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, then go to Yud Tes Amud Beis and Daf Chaf. Because that's where the Gemara takes up that idea. That's really important to understand that concept. Yeah, then you have the next case also in the Mishnah. Yarda Kedarka, Ketza Mishalemes. Yeah, that's also interesting. Take a look at that. Till the end of the Mishnah. Prepare till the end of the Mishnah. I think that's probably plenty. But if you finish preparing that, you want something else to prepare, then we're going to go into the question on Tesvav Amid Aleph, whether Chatzi Nezek is Knas or Mamona. That's on Tesvav Amid Aleph. So do that. You have to just do the basic machlokas. You don't have to do the whole sugya there. It's like about 8 lines, 10 lines. You'll see it in the middle of Tesvav Amid Aleph. That's a very interesting thing. Okay?